I want to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33 this morning. Exodus 33. We're going to start in verse 13. Begin studying, actually, this verse on Wednesday night. So some of you, a little of this may be a repeat. Didn't really know this verse existed in this way until Wednesday night, actually, or as I prepared for Wednesday night Bible study. Exodus chapter 33, verse 13. Moses prays an amazing prayer. Amazing prayer, almost like that song. And I wanted to share a little bit of it with you today, and we're going to talk about it. Because he prays to God, "God, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight." And the more I looked at that verse, the more the word favor just began to speak to me, and begin doing a study about the word favor in the Bible. And I want to share a little bit about what the Lord led me to and what we found this week, because I thought it was just an amazing prayer to pray. "God, let me know you so that I may find favor with you." I guess partly the word favor kind of stuck with me too because of the football game Thursday night. You know, the Sooners played Baylor at Waco, and I thought, if we have any chance in the world in beating Paula Burnett's Baylor Bears, we're going to have God's favor shine on us. And didn't pray that. I was very careful there, but I thought, you know, "God, we're really going to need your favor." And then we go down there, and it was clear by the end of the game who God showed favor to. And it was very strange because if you're there, you watched it on TV. I don't understand why God favored them because they all wore black, which is the color of sin, by the way, right? And darkness. And here we come, the light, you know, of Oklahoma down there. We get beat. And you know, darkness drove out the light, went back across the Red River to fight another day, I guess. But no, I'm joking there. But, you know, as I read, I don't think we understand God's favor all the time. And the more I thought about favor since our Wednesday night Bible study, I looked up a lot of verses about it. And I mean a lot of verses about it. Didn't realize until I did this study really how much favor was talked about in the Bible. Lots of prayers for favor, lots of men and women who were favored by God that went on to do great things. So this week I've been thinking about favor, and the more I thought about it, the more important I realized it was. And the more that I thought about it, the more amazing that I found this prayer that Moses prayed became to me. There are a lot of things that I desire for my family, for my life, for this church. But of all the things to pray, of all the things to seek after, of all the things to search for and find, I think that favor may be one of the most important. Favor with God. Moses' prayer, "God, let me know you so that I may find favor in your sight." So just let me start with the question this morning. How many of you want God's favor on your life? Just raise your hand high. Everybody, right? Everybody. I wanted to start, I'm setting you up, by the way, but I just wanted to start, you know, of course, there's nothing like the favor of God. There's nothing like it. Something that we don't talk about very often, but it's something that when we think about it, we all want in our lives, even though we may not totally understand. It's talked about all throughout Scripture. I'm going to give you a definition for favor later on from a bunch of the verses that I kind of looked at. But this week, I'm going to set the stage. This is just going to be a two-part message. This week and next week, we're going to kind of divide it out. Next week, I'm going to give you the real practical side to favor. But today, we're just going to set the stage. What favor is, you know, how it's used in the Bible, because here's the thing. There's a lot of things that we can desire in life, and the more I prayed about that word favor, I thought, you know, God, some desire fortune in the world, but I would rather have your favor than fortune, and some desire fame in the world, but I would rather have favor than fame. It's not talked about much in the church, but the more I looked at this word favor, it's everywhere. So we're going to look at a few of the verses, but start in Exodus 33. And I want you to look in your Bibles and look at that verse. Read it to yourselves a few times. This prayer that Moses prays, I'm going to give you the situation and the context that he prays it real quick. But and you can kind of glance in your Bible as we go through the context. Because Moses, he's in a situation where he needs to lead the children of Israel. And they're just been at the foot of Mount Sinai. They've actually just worshipped the golden calf, by the way. He's supposed to be leading them to the promised land. Over 2 million stiff-necked, rebellious people. That's according to God's word. They're stiff-necked and rebellion. So what I take from that, basically, James, is he's a pastor. That's what pastors do. They deal with stiff-necked and rebellious people. So as I thought about, what the task is, he has this huge challenge in front of him to fulfill the call of God that God has placed on his life. And Moses didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to do it. He didn't know how God would provide. He didn't understand all that God was doing in his life so far. It had been a rough road. In fact, the whole point in this text is, Moses has basically came down the mountain and he's just seen, he's brought down the Ten Commandments. And when he got down, he's so excited. Here's the law. And here they are worshiping the golden calf, breaking the law. So he's devastated. He's frustrated. And God tells Moses you can go to the promised land, but I'm not going with you anymore. You can go by yourself. And so Moses says a point that he's desperate. He didn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to get them to the promised land by himself. He has this call to do it, but he didn't know what to do. And as I thought about that, I think it applies to all of us. We all have a calling of God in our lives to do something. But getting from point A to Z is the difficult thing. Knowing how to do it, a lot of us there, we have children. If you have children and you're raising kids, there are moments that I just go, God, I'm trying to do everything right, and I don't know what to do. I'm at a standstill, and God, I just need your direction. Or maybe in your marriage, you're at a point that you say, God, I know you've called me to have a godly marriage, and you've called my husband and I to make a difference in the world, and you're at a point in your marriage that you just say, God, I've tried everything, and I prayed, and I don't know what to do. I know what you're calling me to do. You may be calling me to teach, or to preach, or to be a missionary, or to share the gospel with your neighbor, and God, I know what you've called me to do, but I just don't know how to get there because all this is just going against me, and I don't know the next step to take, God. And so that's where Moses is. He's where a lot of us are. We don't know what to do. And I love Moses' prayer, and I want us to let it sink into our hearts this morning because Moses could have prayed for a lot of things here. He could have prayed for a lot of stuff. He could have prayed for more talent or more ability or more knowledge or more resources. Those are the things that typically we pray for first. When we're in a pickle financially, when we're in a pickle in our marriage, we say, God, this is what I need from you to make things right in my life. Now, I want you to notice, did Moses ask for anything stuff-wise? What did he ask for in verse 13? Somebody tell me. To know God. And that God would favor him. See how those two things are tied together? He just says, God, of everything that I need to lead these people, you know what? This is what I need. I need to know you. It's amazing to me that when Moses started out his life, go back to the very beginning when God called him at the burning bush. He said, God, I have a stuttering problem and I can't speak and I'm too timid and Pharaoh will never listen to me. So remember, God sent somebody to go with him. Moses basically said, I need you to send somebody with me or somebody else in my place. That's where Moses was first in his walk with God. But now when he has this enormous challenge in front of him, he doesn't ask for somebody to be sent in his place anymore or for help. You know what he asked for? You know what? He's learned along the way that the only thing that he needs to fulfill God's call on his life is what? God. God's presence. I need to know you, and I need favor because I know you. He learned something that all of us want to know, or should learn, that God is the answer to our need. Moses knew that he needs God's favor. He knew that he needed God to go with him and fight for him. So he said, Lord, above everything else, what I want, in verse 13, he says, I want to know you, and I want to be favored by you. More than resources, more than strength, more than talent, the one thing that I need to fulfill the call of God on my life is simply you. I wrote down a definition of favor that I think will serve as a great working definition for this two-week sermon series. I want you to look at it, and I want you to write it down. If you have a pen and paper today, I want you to write it down. I have it on the screen. Take a moment to write it down. Simply this, the favor of God is the guarantee of his presence and the provision of his power to accomplish his special purpose in and through my life. I want to challenge you. Write it down. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it in your car. Remember it. Put it around you some this week. The favor of God is the guarantee of his presence. It's the favor of God. The guarantee of his presence and the provision of his power to accomplish his special purpose in and through my life. I want you to be praying over that this week. When you pray for favor, you need to know what you're praying for. This is what we're praying for. Because there are many favor fallacies out there, and that's what I want to go over this week, just two specifically. We're going to look at them, a few of them this morning. Let's go back to our text real quick. Looking at the verse, he says, verse 13, Now therefore I pray to you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Notice twice in that prayer, two times. If I found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. You can tell what the central request is for Moses. And that leads me to my first point. And I'm not going to stay here very long, but you just think about it. First thing, you cannot achieve favor. The only way to get favor is you have to receive favor. Take notes, write that down. If not, put it in your mind, it's on the screen. You can't achieve favor, you have to receive favor. You see, some people think that favor is something that we earn. But Moses understood that favor was something that you had to ask for. Favor is something that comes from knowing God. That's why he says, God, let me know you so that I can have favor with you. You can't earn favor. Coming to church, you know, and that's the mentality of Christians. We have the idea that the more we come to church, the more we pray, the more we read the Bible, the more we check off the things that Christians should do, the more favor we're going to have with God. But the truth of Scripture is we don't earn favor with God. You don't earn it. You don't achieve it. It's something that you receive as an act of grace and mercy of God. Now, that's a huge thing to my wife, and I told her I was going to share this story. She just laughed about it. I love her, but she has this thing with her grandmother. Kind of think it's funny. Or really, with all of her, her parents even, Catherine is her grandmother's favorite. And how many of you have a favorite out there? Don't raise your hand if they're here. I always thought I was a favorite with my grandmother because when she would write the email, she would say to my favorite grandson. And then I found out that she said that to everybody, all of her grandchildren. Catherine's grandmother does have a favorite. Catherine was always her grandmother's favorite. And her grandmother even made Catherine a Bible quilt with about 20 Bible stories she hand-sewed on this gigantic quilt in Samuel's room. And amazing quilt. Man, it's just priceless to us. Catherine loves it. But none of the other grandkids got the Bible quilt, and Catherine has it, and she knows that she is the favorite, and she does what she needs to do to keep that status. You know, if you're the favorite, you know what you got to do. she'll send a card. I'm like, what are you writing? Card to my grandma. I know what you're doing, you know. And she'll call ahead every Thanksgiving, and she likes her grandmother's ham, but listen, she doesn't like it that much, but she calls every week before Thanksgiving. She's saying, Grandma, you're going to make my ham, aren't you? Going to make my ham. Has nothing to do with the ham. Nothing at all. And her grandmother makes the ham, but man, I give her a hard time. But a few years ago, and she's really, really stepped it up the last few years, because it was 2 years ago we were late to Christmas one year. We'd spend more time with my family, and we were late. They were behind. And so by the time we got to Stroud, where her grandmother lives, they had already started opening presents. And her grandmother had made a blanket for each of her grandchildren, actually for her great-grandchildren. But Catherine knew, her grandmother told her, you know, the prettiest blanket is a blanket with bears on it, and it'll fit your boys really well. And Catherine was real excited about it because we kind of have a log cabin theme in the boys' room, and she thought, man, that bear blanket's going to go real good. And so she was all excited about it. Well, we were late, and that made her grandmother pretty mad at her. And so what her grandmother did is, before we got there, she passed out the blankets, and she said, okay, you can have the bear blanket, you can have this blanket, you have this blanket. And Catherine was left with a blanket with little bunnies on it. And, bears and bunnies just, you know, aren't the same thing. And to the boys, they're like, bunny rabbits in our bedroom? And so Catherine was pretty upset, not even about the blanket. When we got in the car on the way home, she said, I'm not the favorite anymore. And I should have gotten first pick. I've been replaced. And so what Catherine started doing was working double time. She called and bragged on her grandmother's ham, and she called her more often. And now she doesn't verbalize that she does any of these things, but I give her a hard time because I know they're true. As I read this last night to her, she just smiled and said, maybe. She wouldn't admit to it. But in her mind, favor is something that you earn. You have to earn it. And that's what she's trying to do. Favor is something that you earn. And it may be true in relationships here. But in our relationship with God, biblically, Favor with God is not something that we earn. Favor is not something that we strive for in our own ability. Favor is not something that we can achieve. Favor is something that we receive. Favor is God doing good for you in Jesus Christ that you can never do for yourself. It's not achieved, it's received. When you understand that about God's favor and you understand the way that God feels about you, you realize that God did not choose you based on your performance. Hate to say that. Some of us think that, and we're kind of proud of that. Man, I'm just really good at this, and I'm a great speaker, and so God set me apart. I know that's not true. God doesn't choose us because of our performance. The reason and the way that God chooses us is for our purpose. God sees what he created you to be, and he sets you apart to be the very thing that he created you to be. He doesn't set us apart based on our performance and what we can achieve. He didn't choose to love us because we're good. You know why he loves us? Because he's good. See, there's a big difference there. We don't have to try to meet God's expectation to be loved. He didn't choose us because, or to choose to love us because we're good, but because he's good. When you understand that favor is not achieved, that it's received, then you understand how God looks at you. You understand how God feels about you. You understand if you're forgiven by the blood of Jesus that God smiles at you and he loves you. You realize that no matter what you do, you are still God's favor. You have God's favor on your life. See, because favor is simply a byproduct of the grace of God. It's a byproduct of the mercy of God. Some people might say, well, don't you think that's arrogant to say you're favored by God? I've heard that before. I've heard people say that. Well, you know, it's kind of a little bit arrogant to say you have God's favor. Well, when you think you achieve it, it would be arrogant. If you think that you've earned it, it would be arrogant. But when you realize the truth of Scripture is, I can't achieve it, it's only by grace, then you realize it's not arrogant to say, I have the favor of God. It's arrogant not to say, I have the favor of God. I stand up here today because God has favored me. Now, some of you go, that doesn't sound right. Right? But the truth is, I know that in my own strength, in my own ability, in my own talents, there's no way God would call me to be a pastor. But because of his favor on my life, his grace, his mercy, he gives me strength to do it. I shouldn't even be here. If it weren't for his grace, I wouldn't be. That's why us claiming God's favor, it's a way that we give God glory for our lives. Because it shows that we realize our inadequacy, but God still chooses us anyway. I don't earn it. I don't achieve it. It's given to me freely by the grace and the mercy of God. Now, I want you to think about that a little bit. You know, as you follow Jesus Christ, you walk into the favor of God. The amazing truth, Christians typically don't get how favored we are for God. We forget or we don't understand because we have this idea in our minds that God loves us but doesn't really like us that much. Y'all ever heard that from your spouse? I have. You know, I really love you, but I don't like you at the moment. I have people come in, I see way too many heads shaking. I have people come in my office sometimes and say, well, we're having a marriage couple. I say, well, do you love one another? Yeah, but we don't like each other at all. Can't stand each other, by the way. And so sometimes we have that mentality that's how God is with us. Man, he loves us, but he really doesn't like us because we have this mentality of God that he has to love us because he's God and he's good. And so God has no choice. It's like a contract. He loves us because he has to, because he's God and that's what God does. But he really doesn't like us that much. So what we think is, I've got to do things to get God to like me. But what favor teaches us is that God actually does like us. Did you know that God knew everything you were going to be, everything you were going to do, and he still chose to create you, he still chose to give his son to die for you? That means God doesn't have to. He chose you. He knew he could have said, whoa, I know what that person's going to be. I'll just not make them. He chose to anyway. He said, you know what? I like them and I love them and I'm going to give my life even for them to prove exactly how I feel about them. God isn't trapped into liking us. Sometimes we have that mentality. Well, he loves us, but he doesn't like us very much. I have to remind myself of that at times because, I know me. The more I'm around me, the more I don't like me. Any of you have that same feeling? I know myself. I get on my own nerves, so I think, well, God must really get tired of me. I have to get on his nerves, too. And, sometimes I put myself in God's shoes. You know, God's thinking, do you know how many times I've tried to deal with his temper and he still gets angry when he shouldn't? Do you know how many times that he's prayed for something and Man, I've answered his prayer. I've given him what he wanted. And then he's griped at the very answer that I've given him. Do you know how many times, you know, in my situation, you know, I could say, God, grow the church. God, we want more people to come in the church. We want more lost people to come in the church. And then the next week I'm going, man, the church is so full. I'm so busy. I don't have anything, any time left because I'm so running crazy. Or you do it too. You say, God, I want that new promotion at the job. God, man, I want a break from my job. I'm working too much. You know, we do it all the time. We pray for God's blessings. And then when they come, and I think, man, as I was thinking my own life, I thought, we do it all the time. God has to get tired of us, right? And sometimes we get that mentality. He loves us, but he really doesn't like us all that much. But when we understand that favor is not earned, that favor is not achieved, favor is received by grace and love and mercy, God chooses, God wants, God desires to love us, to like us, to pour himself into us, that's amazing news. We have favor in God's sight as his children. Now, some of you don't look like you believe it this morning. I kind of want to get them excited and maybe get us a little bit churned up. So what? Turn to your neighbor and say, God favors you. Now, look back at them and make sure they're smiling. Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, if you're happy that God favors you, tell your face. Go ahead and say there we go. I got some smiles that time. You know, because there's this block, and I knew it would happen because it happened in my own life. There's this block when we talk about God's favor that we really don't believe it. We don't believe it. We don't necessarily take it to heart. We think, well, can God really like me? Can God really favor me? And it bothers us. We don't get real excited about it because we have this life experience that keeps us from really understanding and gripping the favor of God. And that really is from fallacy number two that we're going to talk about today. I want you to write this down. Favor from God, it is not the same as favors from God. Notice the wording there. Make sure and study it real well. Favor from God is not the same as favors from God. You see, when I started talking about favor, some of you thought to yourself, oh man, this is going to be one of those Philly, you know, super spiritual messages where the pastor promised me if I have a special relationship and connection with God and I pray all the time that and I'm better than everyone else around me, and if I do certain things for God, then God will bless my life and my life will be easy and I will have prosperity and I will have money and life will really never be difficult because I will just walk in God's favor. Some of you thought that, but you filtered that through your life experience. And the problem is you've been a Christian for a while and you've learned a few things, as I've learned a few things. You know, you've heard the sermon on being favored, on being God's chosen one. And as you were driving through the parking lot at Walmart, you said, you know what, God, I have your favor today. I want a parking spot up front. Right? So I don't have to walk very far because God doesn't like us walking, right? And so we're driving, we're thinking, Lord, I need your favor today because I don't want to walk like the rest of these people that don't have your favor. And when you got there, the parking spot, it wasn't there half the time. And so you drove back to the back of the parking lot to the only spot that was there, and you were kind of upset with God, thinking, you know what, God, if you really favored me, you would give me that parking spot that I wanted, and now I'm going to have to walk. And that's a not so serious way to bring it up, but you know, that happens in a lot of deep ways too. Like sometimes, you know, maybe you tithe or you come to church and you read your Bible and you serve in the children's ministry and you think, well, you know, God, really things ought to go my way. And it becomes a surprise to us. Maybe you're praying for healing and the healing doesn't come. Or maybe you're tithing regularly and you still struggle financially. Or you're doing your best to raise your kids right and to bring them to church and Sunday school and they're still rebelling against you. And so in the back of your mind, you're thinking, God, do you really favor me? Because if I'm doing all these right things, you ought to be a little easier on me and I ought to get the parking spot that I want, right? It enters our minds all the time. That's why so many people turn away from God when things in their life don't go right. But I want to clear that up for you today. I just want to clear the air and just declare that favor of God is not the same as favors from God. We get those two confused all the time. Some people might say, I want the favor of God. Even unchurched people will probably pray that. If you go up and say, do you want God's favor? They're going to say, yeah, I want God's favor in my life. It sounds wonderful. If you walked up to most people on the street, that's what they would say, because they would say, well, is it free? Where do I get it? Do I have to go pick it up? I'll go get God's favor. Surely I would. And the reason is because more often than not, everyone wants God's favor. But this is the difference. Most of the time, we want God's favor in our lives for our purpose. That's a tough statement. We want God's favor in our life for our purpose. We want Him to do favors for us, for our convenience, for our health, for our comfort. But rather than seek God's purpose, we seek, you know, our purpose, and we seek His favor for our convenience. It hurt me when I thought about that. When God brought me to that statement, favor from God is not the same as favors from God, because every way that I'd related this sermon so far in my heart and mind as I prepared was stuff that God would do for me because I'm favored, right? That was my mentality. And what the Holy Spirit really began to speak is, no, favor and favors, are they're not the same thing. Favors are for your convenience and for your purpose, and those are the things you pray for. But favor, that's for my purpose. That's for my calling upon your life. When you think about this text, that's what Moses asked for. He didn't ask for God to, light the way to the promised land and clear out every army and give them, every sword or a Gatling gun so they could go in and clear out the promised land. He didn't ask God for stuff at all. He knew that everything he needed was right there in God's presence. I mean, wandering the desert for 40 years, if I were Moses, I may have asked for some camels. I may have asked for an air conditioner, right? I mean, they were lost 40 years in the desert wandering. I may have asked for a compass and a map. You know, you're Moses, you're thinking, God, this is what I need to get these people where they want to go. But notice in verse 13, and I know we've stayed there a long time, but he wanted God's favor. And the way that he knew that come, he said, God, I just want to know you. I just want to know you so I can be favored with you. You know, that's what God's favor is. That's why I said in the definition, it's a guarantee of God's presence in our life. The favor of God isn't a formula. It's not a set of steps that you take to get what you want. The favor of God is a living, breathing, dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ that we live in every day. It changes the way that you see God. It changes the way that you see your circumstances. It changes the way that you see and understand the way that God even sees you. And maybe that's the most important thing about God's favor. That's what Moses says, God, let me know you. Let me know you so that I can have favor with you. Okay, jump with me real quick. We're almost done. It's almost Christmas time. Turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Thanksgiving time. I don't think I'm far off to jump to Christmas just for a second. The lights are already out at Walmart, right? That means we can go there in a sermon. That's the general rule, right? Luke chapter 1, verse 28. We talked about Moses in the Old Testament. Now I want to show you someone in the New Testament. The Bible said, and you probably know the verse, the angel comes to a young virgin woman, comes to her, verse 28, and says, greetings, you who are what? Highly favored. So not even favored. This woman's supremely favored, highly favored. She's souped up favor in her life. Highly favored. What's the next word? What's the next statement, I should say? The Lord is with you. Because we've been talking about how really what favor is the presence of God in our lives. And so God comes to Mary and says, greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. See, Mary wasn't just favored. She was super favored. She was highly favored. Now, just think about this for a second, because our definition of favor would be something like this. You're Mary, okay? Angel of the Lord appears to you. Man, you're a bad-looking Mary. But the angel of the Lord appears to you and says, greetings, highly favored one. Greetings, highly favored one. What are you expecting to come next, right? If you're Mary and you're, greetings, highly favored one. Man, this is going to be awesome, right? You've just won $58 billion. Highly favored, yes. Right? Here is your keys to your brand new car. Highly favored, right? Greetings, highly favored one. You know, TLC's decided to feature you, Mary. You're engaged on the wedding story. And so they're giving you a $17 billion wedding. You can go anywhere in the world, right? Lauren, you get a planet for him. See? You get, no, no way. She's saying no way. No, thank you. You get 10%. Oh, no. Greetings. That's what we think, right? Greetings. Highly favored one. That's what you expect, right? That's what highly favored means in ours, right? Because God's going to give her all sorts of favors, right? Let's put it in perspective. Here's what comes next in Mary's life. Greetings, highly favored one. Guess what? You're going to give birth to a baby in a barn. Right? Because there's no room even in the crummy hotel down the street. And not only that, but everybody's going to think that you're giving birth to a baby out of wedlock. And so you're going to be scorned and made fun of, and rumors are going to swirl every around you, and you're going to have to run to your family's house and hide because no one's really going to accept you. Greetings, highly favored one. Add to that, you're going to love your son, and he's going to raise up, and he's going to be the savior of the world. Sound like good news? But you know what you get to do, Mary? You get to watch your son be rejected by the world, be spit on, be beaten with a cat of nine tails until he's nearly dead. You get to watch him be drugged out to a hill called Golgotha, nailed to a cross, and he's going to die there. Greetings, favored one. Not just favored, but what? Highly favored one. Now that we know what favor is, how many of you want it in your life? I just want to check back in with those that raised their hand earlier, right? We're not as quick. I mean, we misunderstand highly favored. Because the deal is, favor's not for our purpose. It's not for our convenience. It isn't really for us at all, and favor isn't stuff. It isn't stuff. The text tells us what it is. Greetings, highly favored one. Yahweh is with you. God is with you. See, I believe that when you truly find God's favor, when you truly find it, when you truly receive it by the grace and the mercy and the power and the forgiveness of God, it's not about stuff. When you find His favor, it's all about the presence of God in our lives. It's amazing that in the story, he calls Mary highly favored, and then he says, because the Lord is with you. Even apart from the truth that's going on in her life, you just think about it. What would Jesus' name be called? And he will be called what? Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. You know why you're favored, Mary? Because God will be with you in the flesh. The Lord will walk with you and talk with you. You are highly favored because you will have God's presence in your life. You're favored. See, God's favor is not what happens to me. It's who I know is with me, no matter what happens to me. That's a great truth there. See, I believe when you find God's favor, it's not about circumstance, it's not about stuff. It's all about His presence. Mary was highly favored because she would know the presence of the Lord. And above all else that would happen in her life, both good and bad, she would know the presence of the Lord. See, the essence of favor is not what happens to me. It's not what I have. It's not experiences that I have in life. It's not what happens to me. It's who I have with me. That's what favor is. That's why Moses said, God, I want to know you. I want to know your presence. I want to know your face. I want to know you so that I'm favored by you. See, because I know that favor comes from your presence. It comes from your face. It comes from you. It's a free thing that we receive by grace and mercy that God, you chose to come from heaven to earth to dwell in our hearts. See, I know I preach a lot of sermons that are hard, but church, this isn't one of them. It's good news today. If you're hurting, if your marriage is going down the drain, if your kids are out of control, if you don't understand what God is doing in your life and the call of God in your life is just at a standstill and you don't know what to do and you're about ready to give up and man, you're knocking at depression's door and you say, I just don't feel God's favor. What I want you to know this morning is that if for no other reason, no other reason than the single fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has promised to be with you, has promised to never leave you or forsake you. For no other reason than that, you have more favor than you could possibly imagine. See, if you find nothing more than Jesus, you found favor with God. God smiles at you. He's with you. He chooses to be. He promises to be. He calls you His children. You're favored. So we have favor because Jesus died for us. We don't have to pay for our sins because Jesus hung on a cross and paid for our sins. We don't have to die spiritually because Jesus died and He rose again. See, I found favor, and the reason that I found favor and the reason that you found favor is because He found favor with the Father. I don't have to know where I'm going in life. I don't have to know what's next. I don't have to understand God's plan. I don't have to know where I'm going because I know who I'm going with. And I know that He's going with me. That's why Moses, man, he stops his whole life and he says, God, we're not taking another step until I know You and I have Your favor because God, Your favor means You're going to the promised land with us. And if You're not going, I'm not going. I know that God is for me. Church, do you realize that God is for you? You know, my understanding of Christians, even my own life, most of the time, we live as God is against us and we're trying to please Him and make Him for us. If I can just win God's favor, God is for you. It is a lie of Satan that God is against you. I know that God is for me because I know Jesus gave God gave His only Son so that He could favor me. In the valley, I found favor. In uncertainty, I found favor. When I hit a hard time, I have God's favor. When I'm blessed, man, we look back on the favor that we have. When we're not blessed, we look forward to the favor that we have in Jesus Christ, that no matter where we are in life, God is right there with us. It's a promise of His presence. See, I grew up in most of my college life in a charismatic church. I didn't agree with everything they taught. But somewhere along the way, I got an idea that, and they had 2-hour worship services. And I'm not talking about the preaching, I'm talking about 2-hour worship services. And this is what they said. We have to work our way into God's presence. It doesn't happen very quickly. And we have to get to a point that God will hear our prayers and that God will open our hearts so that we are ready to listen and ready to receive the word that He has. And so sometimes we started at 8:30 or 9 and we might be done by 12 or 12:30 and you go where your family goes to church. I didn't necessarily agree with everything, but somewhere along the way, I got this mentality that I needed to pray for 2 hours. God, I just want to feel Your presence, and I just want You to be here with me, and I just want You to hear my prayer. And one time, and I don't claim very often to actually just hear the voice of God in my heart and mind like a resounding roar, it came. And this is what God said, "When you seek Me, you will find Me. Because you have My favor on your life through the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't have to work for it, Daniel." And He said, "When you pray, I hear you." And it's changed the way I worship because I don't sit up here and say, "God, I have 1,000 things to confess to You today that get in my way of the relationship, and I'm going to spend 2.5 hours in this chair before service so I can come into Your presence." We don't do any of that on our own. We come to God in His presence because He favors Christ, not because He favored us. Because of our goodness. And when we come by Jesus, God smiles. And He sees the blood of His precious dear Son that He gave out of choice for you and for me because He likes you, believe it or not. He loves you, believe it or not. And He wanted to show His favor to you. And when you come, He says, "Greetings, highly favored one. I'm with you." Now all this pertains to the believers in this room. If you're not a believer, You have no access to God. You have no access to God's favor. He's ready to favor you. He's given his son for you. But you have to receive it. You have to accept it by faith. The more I understood about God's favor, the more I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Because I'm just following God's presence, not because I deserve it, not because I earned it, but because I've received it through Jesus Christ. See, the favor isn't for me. I understand that. It's not for my convenience. It's not so that my, you know, child rearing my children will be easy. It's not so I get the best parking spot at Walmart. See, his favor isn't for me. God favors me for his purpose, for his plan for my life, not for my convenience, but for his glory. That doesn't mean that his favor has to make me comfortable. All his favor has to do is keep me close to him. Because that's what favor is. It's a promise of his presence. And that's enough for me. Moses prayed, God, let me know you so that I can find favor. I just want to be close to my God, to know you, to serve you, to follow you. There's nothing like being favored by the God of the universe. Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want God's presence? The good news, that's exactly what Christ came to give us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you favored sinners like us. Sent Jesus, your son, to die for us on a cross. Father, he gave his life so that we could have life. Father, you had to turn away from him there on the cross. You had to turn your face from him because of my sin. And Father, you turned your face from him because he took my sin upon him so that you could turn your face to me and favor me. So Father, we come by the blood of Jesus today. We come by the sacrifice that he made on the cross, Father. And we thank you so much for the favor we have with you because of the righteousness of Jesus. Father, I pray if there's one in here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ, that doesn't have forgiveness for their sins, that hasn't put their faith in Jesus, I pray today would be the day. But Father, for those of us that are here as believers, Father, I pray that you just give us a deeper understanding of how you feel to us, toward us. Father, that you're for us, not against us, that your favor goes with us, and that favor is for your purpose and not our own. Father, may we realize today that we're highly favored, indwelled by the very power and presence and Spirit of God. Father, let us know you so that we can walk and live and breathe in the favor of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll stand as Rocky comes.